This is Mishmash, a weekly conversation where we try to unjumble an important and sometimes under-the-radar statewide story that affects you. I'm Shayna Roth.
And I'm Zach Orchow.
Zach, business groups are mounting a big effort at the state capitol. In fact, I was just having breakfast with a Lansing insider, and she told me that this is probably the biggest issue going on in the city right now. And what it is they want to change a new minimum wage law that takes effect in February. What is going on?
Well, it's a six-year story in the making. 6 years ago, a group of activists circulated petitions, as Michigan law allows, to bring a proposal before the legislature amending law to raise the minimum wage and perhaps even more significantly, eliminate the lower minimum wage for tipped employees like servers at restaurants and people who deliver food and so forth. And that was put on hold. Back then, 6 years ago, the Republicans who controlled the legislature at the time at the behest of the business community overrode that statute. And it was only this past summer the Michigan Supreme Court said the legislature couldn't do what it did and that old six-year law was coming back into force starting in February.
So we talked to Justin Winslow, president and CEO of the Michigan Restaurant and Lodging Association, about why restaurant owners and some of their workers are concerned. And here's what he said.
Yeah, I think far and away, concerns with the tip credit and what ends up happening to it is going to be the number one concern. I think the rate and the speed by which we increase the minimum wage is important to the industry, like it would be any small business operator. But for the restaurant industry specifically, the tip credit really means life or death for a lot of full service restaurants, dine-in restaurants.
The group that brought the 2018 Citizens proposal to raise wages, however, is warning against making any changes now that their proposal is finally set to take effect. We also talked to Chris White, Michigan director of the Restaurant Opportunity Center, and here's what he said.
That due to the nature of how we got here, I believe that you let the law take an effect. It raises the tip wage to $6 and something an hour in 1 year. We're talking about people making less than $35,000 a year. So I think that while I understand how the process works, there's a certain element of dynamic in the process called the people.
This is a really interesting situation for the Democrats in charge of state government, Governor Whitmer and the Democratic majorities in the House and the Senate. They support raising the minimum wage, and they are traditionally allies with groups like this bringing the proposal, but they're also hearing an earful about the potential impact to the restaurant industry as a result of eliminating that lower tipped minimum wage. So they're in a bit of a pickle here as to how they're going to do this. You know, if they were to move forward with some type of relaxed or less generous change to that tipped minimum wage, there would definitely be a lot of consternation among some of their allies. Meanwhile, Republicans in the legislature, who historically have opposed minimum wage increases, are putting all kinds of pressure on the Democrats to get back into session now and fix this. But they have until February before this takes effect.
Now, not getting as much attention is business groups that are conceding on two items they have long fought, a higher overall minimum wage and a permanent annual adjustment for inflation. Labor costs have greatly increased since 2018, so business groups seem to sense raising the state minimum wage to $12.48 an hour in February. It's now at $10.33. It's a non-event.
And the whole focus here does seem to be on that tipped minimum wage. It's quite interesting how the business community, like you said, is not really focused on the general minimum wage. There is a massive PR effort at the Capitol right now from a constellation of groups on this tipped credit. We're seeing restaurant workers showing up at the Capitol. Reporters' inboxes are flooded with press releases. And what's interesting is so far there's been no counteroffensive from the group that supports this law to get rid of that lower tip minimum wage for servers and other tipped workers. And right, that would seem to be a sign of confidence on their part, but we just don't know yet.
All right, we're going to take a short break here, but stick around for our full interviews with Chris White from the Restaurant Opportunity Center and Justin Winslow from the Michigan Restaurant and Lodging Association. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. Joining us now is Chris White, Michigan Director for the Restaurant Opportunity Center, which spearheaded the citizens' petition in 2018 to raise the minimum wage and bring tipped workers up to the regular minimum wage. After a six-year legal fight, that proposal will take effect in February. Chris, welcome to Mishmash.
Thank you for having me, and I'm very glad to be here.
Well, we're glad you're here. So, Chris, let's start out with a really basic question. Who are the members of the Restaurant Opportunities Center?
The Restaurant Opportunities Center, and it's a basic question, but it's going to be a sort of a lengthy answer, if you allow me, because today is 9/11. And we always give respect to those who perished today. And ROC was founded based upon 9/11. It was founded because the founder of ROC worked in the World Trade Center. And he was on the subway on the way to work, and he got a call, and he switched shifts, and he worked at Windows of the World, which was on the 90th floor, and he switched shifts with some other workers, and all his colleagues perished in the Trade Center attack. And it started because those workers were guaranteed rights after the attack, and they did not receive them. And he started ROC, and it grew to where we are today. And we view this fight for minimum wage as a continuation of that struggle that even started on 9/11. So 9/11 is a very special day for our organization, as with the rest of the country. And I am thankful to be here on this day to tell that story. But ROC is restaurant workers. ROC Michigan is 6,000 restaurant workers, as well as members that support restaurant workers. That's our membership. We have owners that support our high roll philosophy. We have workers that work in restaurants, and we have everyday people who support our mission.
And talk us through why these members are in favor of the minimum wage increase.
Well, because they don't make enough money. They're essential workers. And it's an idea that's time has come. The cost of living is going up. So wages should go up with that cost of living. That's why in 2018, we launched the citizens-led initiative. So it was led by workers, citizens, and everyone else. So they support the wage because it's not enough to live off of. And I think that all of us on this call could use a little more money.
So there's a proposal from a state senator, a Republican named Thomas Albert, in the legislature, that would instead slowly raise the minimum wage to $12.05 by 2030, instead of what would be a much more rapid increase in February to that number and then some. And it would also keep, critically, it would keep that tipped minimum wage at 38% of the regular minimum wage. We know this is probably not something you all see as a fair compromise. Why not?
Well, because the pandemic, wages are restaurants, some restaurants are already paying well over $12 an hour already. So what this senator is proposing will take us back. And it doesn't even align with the cost of living adjustment and increase that it costs just with gas alone and food alone. So we view any attempts to cancel out the gains as that we fought for as a setback. And we're hopeful that the Senate does not take up that proposal, because we feel that the court has spoken and it's an order. And let us follow that order and let the administration implement that order.
Now, you know what restaurant owners are saying. They're saying, if you force us to pay people $13 an hour instead of $3.88, we'll have no choice but to dramatically raise menu prices and or lay off workers, that customers were willing to pay tips to bring them up to the minimum wage, but won't be willing to pay double what they pay now for menu items. What is your reaction to what they're saying?
Well, I say some restaurant owners, because we have several. I was on a panel with two that already pay $16 an hour and they already tip pool and all of that. And then Yum Village in Detroit and all the restaurants in the city of Detroit between Milwaukee and Grand Boulevard, they all pay a minimum wage and they pay their waitresses more. So that's we view that as a portion of restaurant owners, not all restaurant owners. And we understand that their lobby and that's their job, but we're hopeful that they will come on board with us and participate in the phase in of the new wage.
So many, many years ago, more than I care to say, I delivered pizzas, made the tipped minimum wage, which at that time was about $1.60 compared to the regular minimum wage of $4.25 an hour. And with tips at the time, I was pulling in about $10 an hour, so more than double what the minimum wage was then. You know, there's a lot of folks out there we keep hearing from who are saying, this is going to cut my take-home pay if I'm being paid $13 an hour and no one's tipping me. Why is that fair? How is this going to work out? What about those folks?
I'm saying this as a consumer. I take my rock hat off and put on my consumer hat on. And I have never asked a waiter or waitress how much they make an hour before I tip. I tip based upon service. I think that that's a tactic of fear. And I think that if you ask the everyday citizen, do they know how much a waiter or waitress makes an hour? They would assume that they make minimum wage like everyone else. And I'm willing to bet you, and we're going to find that out because we're going to put it to the test. And you heard it here on the podcast that we're going to do a poll and find out how many people actually know how much a waiter or waitress makes. And if they knew how much a waiter or waitress makes, they would probably be stunned. So I don't believe that we tip based upon what they earn. I believe we tip based upon service, just like we tip our barber, our beautician, our nail tech, and so forth.
So should the legislature and Governor Whitmer decide to keep some version of a tip minimum wage, it will be Democrats, historically allies of your members, taking that action. How would that sit with your members?
Well, what it would show is what it would do, it would damage public trust. See, the issue is that 411,000 people signed a petition. Now, the Board of Canvassers made an adjustment because some signatures got thrown out. And then on top of that, the legislature already adopted and amended it. And then we went to the courts all the way to the top, and they found it as unconstitutional. So if the legislature and the Democrats or Republican legislature, it was done to us by a Republican legislature. If it's done to us again by a Democrat legislature, then that erodes public trust. We're concerned about what it would do about voters' turnout and civic engagement and the democratic process as a whole. So we have the issue of wages, but we have the issue of democratic process, civic engagement, civic literacy. And I'm hopeful that the Democrats don't do the same thing that Republicans do. So it's a special interest versus a citizen's interest.
Democrats, you're saying they could pay a political price with their base, their allies, if they were to, say, you know, weaken this law as it is now.
I believe that due to the nature of how we got here, I believe that you let the law take an effect. It raises the tip wage to $6 and something an hour in 1 year. We're talking about people making less than $35,000 a year. So I think that while I understand how the process works, there's a certain element of dynamic in the process called the people.
All right, Christopher White, thank you so much for joining us on Mishmash.
Thank you for having me.
And we're back. Joining us now with a different perspective on the minimum wage law set to take effect in February is Justin Winslow, president and CEO of the Michigan Restaurant and Lodging Association. Justin, welcome to Mishmash.
Hey, Zach. Hey, Shana. Thanks for having me.
We're excited to have you here. So, Justin, let's start off with a very difficult question. Who are your members?
Well, we have about 5,600 members at the association. So everything in food service you can imagine, from cafe to fine dining and everything in between, full service, quick service, is a member, as well as hotels and motels and resorts across the state of Michigan. High end to as cheap as they come, all members of the association.
So, Justin, what is your members' main concern with increasing the minimum wage, as will happen in February after the recent Supreme Court ruling?
Yeah, I think far and away, concerns with the tip credit and what ends up happening to it is going to be the number one concern. I think the rate and the speed by which we increase the minimum wage is important to the industry, like it would be any small business operator. But for the restaurant industry specifically, the tip credit really means life or death for a lot of full service restaurants, dine-in restaurants.
Justin, can you break it down for us? What is the tip credit? How does it work? How is it different than your standard minimum wage?
Sure. Michigan is one of 43 states that operate with a separate and lower tipped minimum wage for tipped employees. As long as the tips make up at a bare minimum the difference to get them to the full minimum wage. So in Michigan, it's $10.33 right now. 38% of that figure is what the tipped minimum wage is. The difference between those two is what the credit is. But we always are always educating on the fact that you always have to pay employees a bare minimum of the full minimum wage of $10.33. It's just really, really rare that a server isn't making at least $10.33. Most of them are making something closer to $30 an hour.
Now, Justin, your organization released a survey recently saying that 2/3 of restaurant operators would lay off employees if the proposed changes were to take effect. Can you explain to us how you went about this survey and talk to us more about this potential impact that your survey is saying?
Sure. Robust survey of our membership and a really huge response to it. So you heard from every segment of the industry. But when we say 40 to 60,000 jobs lost from the loss of the tip credit, that's from one in five full service restaurants saying they're just going to shut down. They're hanging on the edge right now. Inflation has hit them too hard and they're not profitable right now, which was the most shocking thing to me, is 40% of our restaurants said that they aren't profitable at all right now. That's not a recipe for success long term, basic business sense. So starting from that point, knowing that one in five are going to close, you're going to lose a series of jobs right out of the gate for those who just don't think that they can hang on in a non-tip credit environment. And the rest is remodeling the business. So I call it the Panerification of the industry, right? Where there's a lot of counter service and then you can come up and pick it up when it's ready and they'll bring it back to you.
So Justin, of course, not all tips are created equal. Some people tip 15%, some people tip 25%. Sometimes it's on a bill of $40, sometimes it's on a bill of $250. Wouldn't taking the tipped worker wage from its near $4 an hour now to about $13 an hour be a big boost for the servers at lower cost restaurants like diners, where that 15 to 25% isn't nearly as lucrative as a fancy restaurant, you know, spending upwards of $100?
It's counterintuitive. The answer is actually no. That what we see is tip percentages in the few states that don't have a tip credit at all. The people culturally tip less. They really do. The West Coast states have a higher base wage, but a lower tip percentage. And what you see in a lot of these reports, and many of them are not comprehensive, but they're individual POS systems that will show you by state what people tip and what the cumulative income is for servers. That cumulative income is higher with a lower base in Michigan than it is in a few of these other states, almost all of them, frankly. even on the West Coast where things are more expensive and you have a higher base pay. Servers overall are making more. And that's, I think, why you're hearing so much from them, equally as much, if not more, from actual servers of this industry saying, listen, this is not what we ask for. Whatever one fair wage is, it's not us that is out here organized and representing because we want to keep the tip credit as it is. It's flexible. I make great money, and let's just keep it the way it is.
I want to ask you sort of about consistency, because we're saying, like, overall, this is sort of, like, better. You're saying that kind of like overall, this is better for them and they're making more this way. So I used to be a waitress, and listeners, please bear with me for a second on this story. I was not a waitress for a long time, but I paid my dues in the customer service industry. And I will never forget this one time I had a table that spent upwards of $100. They had drinks, appetizers, I mean, you named it. And then they tipped me below 10%, and they were kind of known by the crew to do this. And what a lot of people don't realize is that in certain restaurants, and in the restaurant I worked in at the time, the wait staff does not get to keep all their tips. I had to pay out the bartender, the hostess, the kitchen. And that's based on the total of the bill, not on how much I actually got tipped. So when I did the math, I had actually paid to serve this table. And I say all of this to ask, is there something to be said for a more reliable wage versus tips, which are at the discretion of the customer who may not understand that the worker is relying on the tip for their wage, or that, you know, they might not get all of their tip and instead think if service wasn't what they wanted, or they just don't believe in tipping, they will punish them with a small tip or no tip?
Well, I'm sure that that is the perspective of someone somewhere in this service industry, that everyone has had that experience. I was a server at several places in and around the Lansing area during college as well, and I could share a similar story. But they'll take that variance almost every day of the week because it's usually a much higher upside opportunity. Mm. And don't take my word for it. We also commissioned a study that we didn't do, that we hired a third party to do, to understand sentiments of the industry, because they'll call us anecdotally, even though we represent operators, not servers, and want us to champion this issue on their behalf. But we wanted to understand what they think about the issue. And when 85% of them say they prefer this status quo with the variance, we take them at their word. And I think the reason is the upside opportunity to be an entrepreneur, to make that kind of cash, is when they bring it, they usually get rewarded well for doing their job well. And they'll take that over consistency with a lower ceiling every day of the week. And I know there are some tough times out there, but on the whole, it is working pretty darn well when you know you're making on average about $30 an hour. Mm.
So, Justin, of course, you know this is a long story to how we got here. 6 years in the making. Started out with the petition proposal, which is the one that's going to take effect in February. But the legislature, with the support of your organization, changed it in the fall of 2018 to essentially keep the old law in place. Not exactly, but, you know, it would have made sure that tipped minimum wage stayed in place, slower rise in the overall minimum wage. But now, all these years later, with the Supreme Court having said what the legislature did in 2018 was unconstitutional, knowing now, if you knew then what you know now about how the Supreme Court would rule, would you do anything different?
No. No.
Why not?
And because the same reason servers are actively engaging with and asking the legislature, which happens to now be run by Democratic majorities in both chambers, they're making the same request and telling the same story in 2024 that they told in 2018, which at that point had a Republican majority leadership. Republicans were being responsive to what they were hearing from the workforce aggressively and in large numbers. I remember the day that ADOPT happened back in 2018, and there were 350 servers that came to the Capitol that day to make the point clear of where they stood on this issue and what they wanted the legislature to do and why. And the legislature was being responsive to them. So I hear and I understand the idea of adopting an amendment doesn't sound great and probably is never going, would never have happened again, even if the Supreme Court ruled differently. But I do think that the legislature, and it happened to be in charge, Republicans happened to be in charge, were being responsive to what they were hearing from large numbers of restaurant servers in this industry. And their Democrats are in control now, but they're going to be they are asking for the same thing right now, because again, they never asked for this group to come in and eliminate the tip credit. If they're acting on their behalf, it's certainly not with servers in mind and servers in collaboration with them, because they want to see the status quo retained.
Justin Winslow, thank you so much for joining us on Mishmash.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate the opportunity.
Mishmash is produced by WDET Detroit's NPR station in collaboration with the illustrious Gongwer News Service. Mishmash is hosted and produced by me, Shayna Roth, and Gongwer's Zach Gorchow and Alethea Kasbin.
Additional production and editing by Hearns Laguerre Jr. Mixing, mastering, and music by Sam Bobian.
Our digital team is Dave Kim, Sophia Joswiak, and Jenny Sherman. And our news director is Jerome Vaughn. Our podcast manager is David Lyons. As always, if you listen to this show and want to support it, you can do so by leaving us a review or comment wherever you listen. You can subscribe or follow us on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, basically wherever you get your podcasts.
Tell your friends about how much you've learned from Mishmash and send them a link. And you can learn more about Gongwer News Service, and we would love it if you would sign up for a trial subscription too at gongwer.com.
Remember, we're produced by a public radio station, which means we are listener supported. So if you really, really like this podcast, you can support WDET by going to wdet.org/give. We'll talk to you next week.